Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, this is your host, Brianna Dinscher, and you are listening to the New Heights Show on Education. The New Heights Educational Group and Corporation promotes literacy for children and adults by offering a range of educational support services. Such services include assisting families in the selection of schools, organization of educational activities, and acquisition of materials. We promote a healthy learning environment and enrichment programs for families of preschool and school-age children, including children with special needs. The New Heights Educational Group offers support to all students, whether in public schools, private schools, charter schools, or to homeschool students. On today's podcast, I have chosen quite a difficult topic and a little bit different than what I usually do. And this topic stems from our topic a few weeks ago on cyberbullying. So on today's show, we will be discussing the dangers of the cyber world, especially for children and teenagers. And this includes not only cyberbullying, but more on the child sexual exploitation that can arise on the internet and how parents should be aware and how to stay safe in making sure that their children are in fact safe in the virtual world. Visit us online at www.newheightseducation.org. Or you can contact the New Heights Educational Group directly by calling 419-786-0247. You can also email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com. Please remember to push follow us for updates on upcoming shows, or you can visit our website to see host bios and keep track of your favorite hosts and all of our shows. I would also like to make a small note on next week's show because I will be traveling to Connecticut next Friday. Next week's show will be aired on Thursday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So please stay tuned for next week's show. Once again, it will not be on Friday, but instead it will be a day earlier on Thursday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the usual time that I host my show. Here are the following announcements from the New Heights Educational Group for this week. First off, we'd like to thank all of our recent donors. We'd like to thank Batty Plackmer for her donation of Trick Geography books. We would like to thank Bill McIntosh for donating a packet of children's books to the New Heights Educational Group. And we would also like to thank our radio host, Victoria Lowry, for donating her book, Don't Date a Dud. A special thank you to Anjali Baker, who is a volunteer with the New Heights Educational Group. Even though she was evacuated because of the hurricane, she still completed her 4 assignments. You are an incredible person, Anjali, and we are very thankful to have you as a volunteer. I would also like to take this time to thank everyone, volunteers with the New Heights Educational Group, especially to my fellow radio hosts who dedicate hours and hours on end to producing the best shows out there. The New West Education Group is happy to welcome Ms. Maria Lang to our educational team. We are very excited about her affordable and high-quality art classes. Her art program called Art Talk-In will teach you to express yourself in new ways, to talk when you don't have the words, to let your passion flow out of your fingertips onto a piece of paper. All you'll ever need to be an artist are some basic instructions. And that is exactly what Art Talk-In offers to students and their families. And last week, I did an interview with Ms. Maria Lang, where I had a chance to learn more about her, as well as the program, Art Talk-In. So if you are interested in learning more about this art program and where to access it, please feel free to give last week's show a listen. Also, don't forget that my show, The New Heights Show on Education, is also available on iTunes as a weekly podcast. So if you are interested in staying tuned for every single week's show and receiving updates on all of the shows, please feel free to check out my podcast on iTunes, and I'll be leaving the link to it in the description below. That is it for the announcements for this week, and now back to today's show on the dangers of the cyber world. And once again, as I mentioned, I did two segments on cyberbullying a few weeks ago where I talked a little bit about what cyberbullying is, how it is different from bullying, and what parents can do to protect their children and ensure that no one is harming their children either in the physical world or in the virtual world. And from that show stemmed the idea of making another episode where I would continue to talk about technology and what other dangers lie in the internet. And the first thing that I think should be noted, as I mentioned in my previous show, is the difference between cyberbullying and child predators who are targeting children. So cyberbullying occurs between students who are usually of the same age. So they're typically in the same school or in the same grade level. Child sexual exploitation on the internet is a little bit different. So it usually occurs between a child and a predator, and the predator is typically a person who is over the age of 21. So it is typically an adult who is targeting a minor for either sexual material or for some kind of a sexual encounter. So according to a report from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, 1 in 5 internet users younger than the age of 17 received an online sexual solicitation or approach during the past year. 1 in 33 received an aggressive sexual solicitation involving offline contact or a request for offline contact. Approximately 95% of kids who are exposed to pornography online do so by accident, and of that 95%, 36% will become addicted to it after only being exposed to it once or twice. Pornography is just one of the dangers of the internet that exists for kids who are not monitored by parents and are allowed to surf aimlessly online without direction. It's certainly fine to let kids explore the internet, but these are just more examples of how kids can get pulled into things they shouldn't due to lack of vigilance on the part of caregivers. And on today's show, the main thing that I want to talk about is definitely grooming and how predators attempt to lure young children into their traps through the computer or any kind of other technology device. So the internet is a perfect forum to meet new people, but some with malicious intent can use it to befriend young children. Internet predators are expert manipulators, are able to foster a relationship or dependence with a teenager. Most prey on a teen's desire to be liked, their desire for romance, or their sexual curiosity. Often a predator grooms a child through flattery, sympathy, and by investing time in their online relationship. These can then turn into offline relationships or, in extreme cases, opportunities for kidnapping or abduction. So most of the predators who are online know exactly who to target. Most of the children that they're targeting are those who are having problems either in school, in terms of their social life, or they're having problems with their families in terms of either there's problem with their parents or there's problem getting along with a sibling. Most of the time, these problems their child faces may escalate into them seeking some kind of an online relationship or online support from someone else. And predators know exactly how to play into this trap and how to make sure that the child feels as if the predator really cares about them and wants to remain in a friendly relationship. Teens and preteens are at the heart of the social internet, interacting with others through chat sites, instant messaging, social networking sites, and virtual worlds and online multiplayer games. It is inevitable that at an age where young people are starting to explore their sexuality offline, they will do so online in these interactive environments as well. And the worst thing about these interactive environments is that a lot of them request for personal information, such as name, age, email, location, from the user, and oftentimes these things are visible to the public. So anyone can see this information out there. And also through many of these chat sites, or where there is some kind of a chat box enabled, predators are able to communicate with the children and get more information and have more access to the person who is online. Another interesting fact is that many teens feel safer and more confident flirting online than face-to-face. While these are developmentally normal behaviors for adolescents, conducting them in the globally connected, anonymous environment of the internet poses special risk. So what strategies do online sexual predators use? Well, contrary to the widespread belief that online predators trick kids, research shows that they rarely lie about their age or their motive. So most sexual predators are, in fact, very open about their age, about what they want from the child who they're communicating with. Their tactic is not one of deception, but of seduction. They will shower a youth with attention, sympathy, affection, and kindness in order to persuade him or her that they love and understand them. So they're not necessarily going to lie about who they are or what they do, but instead they're going to take a different approach and show the child that despite the fact that this is who they are, they in fact care for the child and want the best for them. The majority of adolescents who accept invitations to meet in person do so knowing that they will be engaging in some form of sexual activity. For 73% of these youth, this will become a recurring sexual relationship. Few of these incidents, 5%, are of a violent nature. So which youth are most at risk of being targeted? Well, when it comes to online sexual exploitation, some youth are more at risk than others. And research indicates that 13 to 15-year-old girls are more vulnerable, particularly those who voluntarily place themselves in risky situations, which includes engaging in online discussions with strangers, flirting and talking about sex online, and by publicly posting personal and intimate information in web environments such as social networking sites. It is important to remember that young people who are most at risk online also tend to be those who are most at risk offline. They include youth who engage in harmful or risk-taking behaviors in the real world, youth who are experiencing physical or sexual abuse, those who are questioning their sexuality, particularly males, youth who are experiencing mental health difficulties, and youth who have relationship difficulties with parents or caregivers. how can parents tell if a young person is being targeted? Oftentimes, it is difficult for parents to tell if their child is spending time online, talking to friends from school, or communicating with a predator who they don't even know or have never met in real life. But some things to watch out for, especially for parents, is if a child is spending a great deal of time online alone, if pornography or sexual photos are found on their computer, if they receive phone calls from people their parents do not know, or make calls, sometimes long distance, to numbers their parents don't recognize. If they receive mail, gifts, or packages from someone their parents don't know. And this is oftentimes how predators try to lure children into believing and trusting them. They may send a child presents. They may send a child airplane tickets. They may send a child some form of gift to show affection. And oftentimes, I think when someone gives us a gift, we begin to form this kind of bond with them because of gift giving. And many times predators use these strategies, whether sending a gift that is in some way related to a sexual act or sending a gift that has nothing to do with any kind of sexual activity. But by sending something to the child, they are creating this line of trust. Another thing to also be very vigilant about for parents is to see if a child is withdrawing from family and from friends. And this is not only in terms of sexual exploitation, but also in terms of cyberbullying. If a child's behavior changes, if they are no longer communicating as they were with a parent, it is important for parents to understand that there is something going on and that this may be because of something that is going on in the cyber world or on the internet. So online predators, as often seen in movies and television shows, such as Special Victims Unit, Law and Order, sexual predators do in fact exist and are a very real threat. And despite the fact that there are some characteristics and some youth that are more at risk than others, predators target both boys and girls of all ages, and they use the anonymity of the internet to their advantage since they can do and be whomever they want. Many are master manipulators with skills that can cripple any child's sense of awareness. And this is known as the grooming process, and predators look for children that are more technically savvy than their parents. So grooming is when an adult makes contact with young people on social networking sites and chat groups. These adults often pretend that they are young people themselves, and their intention is to find out more details about the children they are in contact with and establish a relationship with them, either online or offline. It can often lead to face-to-face meetings and sometimes to unwanted sexual advances. A story in March of 2010 occurred when a 33-year-old man named Peter Chapman was sent to prison for the murder of Ashley Hall, a 17-year-old girl. They had first come into contact through Facebook, where he pretended to be only 2 years older than Ashley. They met in secret, where the girl was attacked and killed by the predator. So predators typically look for children that have some form of issues, and they use these issues that a student may have either at school or at home to befriend the victim and empathize with them while building a pseudo-friendship and a trust. If a child indicates frustration with parents or teachers at school, the predator might suggest the child's parents are way too strict or their teacher is being unfair. And this plays right into the adolescent mind as they look for people to verify their feelings. So these predators do in fact know what to say to children and will agree with them. They will try to sympathize with them. They may make up a story that is similar to what the child is going through. So for example, if a child is saying that their parents are going through a divorce, the predator might also say that his or her parents are also going through a divorce. And this will create a sort of bond between the child and the person who he or she believes he's talking to. The presence of searchable user profiles while dealing with instant messaging and chat rooms, as well as social networking profiles, predators can easily find information about potential victims, since many naive children list personal information with no regard for safety. So even a simple statement listed on a profile, such as school attended, sport played, or even what jersey number worn, can allow predators to target children. And most often are found on instant messaging or chat that a person may willingly go on to find new friends or to make some kind of relationships with people online. And these predators are gaining the trust of the person. They often send pornographic pictures via email or chat, and sometimes gifts through the mail, as we mentioned earlier. They might even have a toll-free phone number for the victim to call or mail a cell phone to, so it will not show up on their parents' phone bill. If the victim tries to cut off communication, predators will often convince them that they will tell their parents what they have been doing online, and that they have used pornographic pictures and scare the victim into continuing the relationship. So oftentimes, if a child does realize that what they are doing, recognizes that communicating with someone online is in fact dangerous, a predator will try to threaten the child and manipulate the child into continuing the relationship. And I think the most important thing in this case to do is to always ensure that a parent keeps track of the social networking sites that a child has access to and has a profile on. So there's definitely a lot of different kinds of chat sites or, you know, especially social networking sites such as Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, where people are posting all of their information out there. So by several clicks of a mouse, I can instantly see someone's name, all of their photos, who they're living with, their relationship status, where they live, what they're doing every single day. And I think it is important for people to really look at their privacy settings on these social networking sites. So I definitely would not recommend instantly closing all of your social networking sites and, you know, considering the internet to be this dangerous territory that you should never go on. Because, you know, there's definitely a lot of benefits of social networking sites in terms of communication and sharing life events with family and friends. So there are definitely a lot of pluses to having a social networking website such as, you know, a Facebook account or an Instagram account. But I do think that it is important for people to know who is seeing all of the information and to make sure that the information is set to private that only they or their friends and family could see, and to make sure that their profile is in fact private and that the only people who are able to access the profile are those who have been given access to by the person of the profile. And I think that some of the most important things that parents can definitely do to make sure that their children are not falling into the hands of these sexual predators is to, first of all, establish a good relationship with their children. So the kids who are most vulnerable to online predators are those who are troubled and who don't have a good relationship with a trusted adult. So it is important for parents, once again, as we talk about in all of the episodes that I do on these kind of issues, is to ensure that the parents is aware of what their child is going through in school and at home, and to always be a friend to the child. So it is important for parents to control what their children are doing and to ensure that they are staying safe. But it is even more important for a child to be able to come to an adult, or especially to their parents, and be able to share any kind of information with them, especially what is going on in the virtual world. So if they did meet someone online or if someone is messaging them, it is important for a parent and their child to have this relationship where a child can directly speak with a parent about what is occurring online. It is also important to control the online environment of the child. So not allowing kids to use a screen profile or providing personal information online is definitely the step to go. And even with all of the personal information that a child may post on their social media site, it is important that that information is set to private. I'm pretty sure that most of the social media sites out there are aware of the importance of privacy and do have settings and features where a person can put all of their information private or only being able to view by certain people or friends that they've added to their account. And also another important thing that I think parents should really understand is that there's a lot of people out there who are dangerous on the internet. There's a lot of nasty material out there. And to never freak out about what is out there and to completely restrict all access that a child may have to the internet. It is important for parents to educate their children on the dangers of the internet, on how to stay safe, on the importance of not talking to strangers. And it is also important for parents to tell their children the advantages and the benefits of the internet world. So it's important for a child to be safe online rather than be completely, you know, barricaded from going on the internet. Because if a parent is being too restrictive on a child, the child is going to go to other sources, whether a library computer or a school computer or a friend's computer, to access these websites. And this may in fact even be more worse. It is best for a child to tell their parents what they're up to, who they're talking to, and for parents to monitor the situation from their home environment rather than the child doing something behind their back and the parent not knowing. So those are some of my tips to staying safe online. And like I said, I do think it is important for parents to always be engaged in their child's life and to see what the child is not only in school or at home, but also online. And it is important for parents to give children their space, to let them have their territory, but to always be aware of what their child is doing. So I wouldn't recommend, you know, necessarily putting different passwords and locks on the computer and forbidding the child from going on any kind of social media site. But I do think that the most important thing is for a parent and a child to have this relationship between them where they can communicate openly about any kind of issue that may arise. And I think that will definitely be the best option and the best way their child will be able to stay safe from child predators, from cyberbullying, and from any kind of dangers on the internet out there. So thank you to everyone for tuning in to this week's show. I really enjoyed doing this topic, and especially such an important topic for everyone to be educated about. Don't forget that next week, once again, my show will be on Thursday, where I will be doing a special Thanksgiving episode. So thank you once again for tuning to this week's show and for listening to all of the previous shows that I've done. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and I will see you all next Thursday. Take care, guys.